The following is an initiation lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on January 13th, 2013, in Toronto, Canada.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatha Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Shri Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine. So, today is most auspicious occasion. Initiation ceremony. Initiation does not mean your business is finished. Oh, now I'm initiated. Initiation means the beginning. Now you're making that concrete, more solid than concrete, commitment to this process of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada very wonderfully explained one time in Los Angeles. This was on January 4th, 1974. He spoke about this auspicious occasion. He stated, deathlessness begins from the day of initiation. Adau Gurashvayam. As soon as you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, your point of deathlessness begins immediately. And if you continue the advice and instruction of the spiritual master of the Shastra, then you become deathless. No more death. So, if one, therefore, takes this process as it is meant to be taken, as Srila Prabhupada has taught us that it should be taken, then it is a fact, from this very day, you become deathless. But if you deviate from the principles, you're cutting your throat. You're going back to the realm of death. So if one takes this initiation vow very, very seriously, Prabhupada, I remember one time, I was lecturing on one verse. I was absolutely amazed by this purport of Srila Prabhupada. He was saying that one should accept the order of one's spiritual master as one's life and soul. He said you should always remember, and then he said you should worship the order received from your spiritual master. I mean, that's how important it is. It's not, you know, well, maybe, maybe not. No, you worship the order. Just like we worship the deities, we worship the order we receive from our spiritual master. This we saw in Srila Prabhupada, you see. He received the order to spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. He accepted that as his very life and soul. He thought it was impossible how I can carry out this order, you see. But still he thought, this my spiritual master has ordered me, so this I must do. So this is what it actually means to be a disciple, you see. You're agreeing now that whatever instruction is coming, actually is coming from Krishna. The orders are coming from Krishna. The spiritual master is simply a messenger, that's all. You see, the spiritual master is a representative of the previous acharya, who is a representative of the previous acharya, etc., etc., all the way back to Krishna. So, if one is dutiful, if one is obedient to this order received from the spiritual master, then he is living in immortality at every moment, you see. In other words, he has already activated his eternal identity as a spiritual being, having nothing to do with the material body, although he's using it. Just like you may use an automobile or a chatter or a dhoti, but you don't identify with it, you see. So one who has actually fully embraced the order received from spiritual master, the body is just something he's using. He doesn't identify with it anymore. Therefore, he's living in his eternal identity already as Krishna's eternal servant. You see? And when the body drops off at death, no big deal. It's like, well, today I was, you know, they had me engaged in the gift store, and then now they asked me to serve in the kitchen. Death is no more than moving from one department to another department. That's all. It's not a big deal. For one who misidentifies with the body, it's absolute, total devastation. Their whole sense of identity is completely destroyed. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they are. It's like the most hellish, inconceivably hellish nightmare, you see. But for a Vaishnava, there's a nice example Prabhupada gives in Bhagavatam about Dhruv Maharaj. When death came, actually, the Vishnu Dutas came to take him back to the spiritual world. And death personified came rushing to the scene. And what did he do? He stepped on the head of death and got into the airplane. You see? So for someone who has actually taken initiation and has taken those vows as his very life and soul, death is, oh great, here's a stepping stone to get into the Vaikuntha airplane. That's so, you see. So the meaning is, if you actually take your vows seriously, you strictly abide by the instructions you receive from your spiritual master, you live a life completely devoid of fear. Abhay. You see, you become completely fearless. So this is the greatest opportunity to take initiation into our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, you see. This is the greatest opportunity to now become connected with the greatest acharya in the history of the universe, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. You're now becoming the grandchildren, Prabhupada's grandchildren, official grandchildren. Actually, Prabhupada said the grandfather is kinder than the father. So we Prabhupada disciples, we're envious of you grand disciples. Because you get more mercy than we do. Prabhupada said that. He said the grandfather is more merciful than the father. So what can we do? We just have to serve you and hope to get some of the Prabhupada's mercy through you. So, Prabhupada always wanted that we should discuss the 10 offenses because at the initiation ceremony. Why? Because actually it's not just chanting 16 rounds and following the four principles. Because Prabhupada told us if we chant with offense, we can go on chanting for millions of lifetimes and not go back to Godhead. So that means these 10 offenses are very, very, very important. Because the 10 offenses is what separated those who are taking birth after birth to gradually become qualified to go back to Godhead and those who go back to Godhead in one lifetime. You see, those who very seriously try to avoid the 10 offenses, you see, are very, very sincere and really are diligent. You see, they become qualified to go back to Godhead. So these 10 offenses are very, very important. The first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord. How to avoid that? It's easy. You just always glorify the devotees. You see, Krishna said he's more pleased when you glorify the devotees than when you glorify him. So if we will glorify the devotees as much as possible, always, even just within our minds, always think of the nice qualities of all the devotees. I mean, we all have our good and bad qualities, let's face the reality, but we should always try to see the good in the other devotees. Because the more you can appreciate the good in other devotees, the more the good will come out of you. And the more you see the faults of the other devotees like a fly, the more your bad qualities remain covering, stuck to your atma, you see. So that's a very important principle. It's called hatimata. It's a mad elephant offense to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord. The second offense is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Rama to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. So we have to really be convinced. There's so many temples, just like we drove up Gore Street or whatever it is, we saw Shiva Puja going on at one temple. It's not that, well, you know, they were doing puja. The pujas are not the same. It's not that Durga Puja, Shiva Puja, Krishna Puja, whatever puja you want to do, it's okay. No. We don't disrespect the demigods, but Krishna is not another one of the gods. Krishna is Deva. He's the god of the gods, you see. So we should never think that Krishna is just another one of the gods. The third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. As I previously explained, those orders have to be worshipped in the heart as the very life and soul of the disciple. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. Any literature which is coming in the line of the Vedic version should be respected and honored. The fifth offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. Someone might think, well, you know, you Hare Krishnas, you just hype the name to get people to chant it. You know, all this propaganda you make about, you know, one pure utterance of Hare Krishna will destroy more sin than you can commit in a million lifetimes. This must be an exaggeration. I mean, come on, it couldn't be that powerful. No. You cannot glorify the name enough. No matter what you can say about the glories of the name, no matter how grandiosely you may describe the glories of the name, it is still an understatement. Because the name of Krishna is Krishna himself. Krishna and Krishna's name are the same. When you chant japa, it's Krishna. Krishna is Krishna. The sound vibration Krishna, the Lord, is actually present. Papa told one of my god sisters, when you chant japa, feel the presence of Krishna. So we should never devalue the name in any way. We should always completely have unflinching total faith in the unlimited glories of Krishna's holy name. The sixth offense is to give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. The Sanskrit scholars do this. They say, you know, Krishna means black, and black means ignorance. So, Krishna means ignorance. No, don't take your understanding of the holy name from the Sanskrit scholars, the mundane Sanskrit scholars. That would be an offense. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Well, you know, I just felt like getting drunk last night, but I chanted some extra rounds today to make up for it. No, don't. No cheating. To consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities. Well, you know, my kids are taking their finals right now, so I'm chanting some extra rounds, you know, to help them on their finals. Don't do that. Just make them study, okay? But don't think, I'm going to chant some extra rounds for my kids to make better grades on their final exam. You're committing nam aparad if you do so. Okay. Number 9, to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Someone may say, well, I didn't feel like preaching anyway, so, you know, we're not supposed to preach because this says you're not supposed to preach to the faithless. And everybody in Toronto is faithless, you know that, so I didn't want to go out on Sankirtan anyway, and I, you know, it'd be an offense to go on Sankirtan. No, don't concoct something. Lord Chaitanya said, whoever you meet, preach to him. So how do you correlate these two instructions? preach to everybody you meet, and two, don't instruct the faithless. One say, well, that doesn't make sense. No, it does make sense if you understand properly. It means you have to preach in such a way that people's faith is, because everyone has faith at some level deep within them. You have to connect with people in such a way that they come away with a positive feeling about you and about the movement and about Krishna consciousness. So you have to find some way to connect with that person. Any good book distributor knows the art of how to pick up on the vibes of this person, the vibes of that person, and connect with them. Any good book distributor knows how to do that. You're very flexible. This type of person, you do this type of person, that. You have to be very flexible, and you have to connect with the person in such a way that they go, wow, this is really cool. You see? So this is what it means. Don't preach in such a way that they blaspheme. You see? That's the point. It doesn't say don't preach. It means don't preach in such a way that people are blasphemous. You cause them or inspire them to be blasphemous. The tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. Well, what to do? Here we are. We got all of our material attachments. Well, we really have to be seriously trying to give them up, you know. So how do you do that? How do you give up the material attachments? It's not difficult. You just become more and more and more attached to Krishna. That's all. His name, his fame, his qualities, his entourage, his associates, his paraphernalia, his dham, his teachings. Just get more and more and more attached to Krishna. And then automatically your material attachments should just fly out the window one after another and are gone. You see, they're finished. And of course, we shouldn't be inattentive while chanting either. We have to, inattentiveness is actually a manifestation of the tenth offense. Because you're attached to so many other things, your mind flies to other things during your japa, you see. We should be attached only to Krishna. That's actually the goal. I have only one attachment, and that's to Krishna. And that includes everything related to Krishna. My spiritual master, the deities, the devotees, the prasadam, the temple, you know, that the dham, that's all part of Krishna. So in this way, these ten offenses have to be avoided, and by doing that, our spiritual lives will be successful. So now we'll move on here to the next step. And at this point, someone should come forward and put on the three-strand neck beads on the initiates. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So, Bhakta Hemant, how many rounds of Japa Mala will you chant every day?
Minimum 16,
yes, very good. And what are the four regulated principles?
No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex.
Very good. So I think Lord Chaitanya's mercy is really flowing thick and heavy today. Because your name is Hemanga Das. Hemanga means the one with golden limbs. So it is also a name of Lord Chaitanya. So we have two servants of Lord Chaitanya now. And they're brand new servants, initiated servants of Lord Chaitanya.
Jai! Master Prabhu ki! Jai!